You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
That's right. You heard the man. This is BetQL, you on the BetQL Network. I'm John Martin. He's RJ Choppy. And we are obviously in to the last week before the NCAA tournament begins. So we are wrapping up some conference tournaments, crowning some conference champions. We've already crowned quite a few. Quite a few tickets have already been punched. So we're wrapping that up this weekend. And then we are on to Selection Sunday and the NCAA tournament. But before we have a set bracket, we're gonna do a mock one tonight, RJ. Did you ever do a mock trial when you were in high school? Were you ever on any of those panels?
Yeah, I was on that like the 12 Angry Men or whatever it is, like that book. Yeah, we did the mock trial. I'll do a mock draft every now and then, you know, back in the day.
Yeah.
But haven't done that. Why? Haven't done a mock draft, mock bracket though.
Yeah, this is a new one, and we're by the way, we're using this is generated from Bracket Matrix. So obviously that aggregates most of the different, because everybody's going to have different answers, right? So this is just a consensus on you know, where these teams are going to be slotted come Selection Sunday. So it's the most accurate, fullest picture that you're going to get. And we're going to break down each and every region here. So this is going to be the BetQLU Mock Tournament Bracket Special. You see it there. Let's start with the Midwest, where it will be Purdue's region. Obviously, Purdue is just absolutely rolling, winning the Big Ten regular season. RJ, when you look at this region, is there a team, even if it is Purdue, that you think this draw sets up well for?
Yeah, I mean, I could see Purdue absolutely easily rolling through, but, you know, the fact that, you know, Baylor is a team that I really, really like. I think Baylor's got a chance to make a little bit of a run. If everybody's playing well, everybody's healthy, I think Baylor is a team. I don't think any two seed would want to see Michigan State in the second round. I don't think that's even remotely a thing that any two seed would want to see. But I mean, yeah, if I had to pick a team that I would see to win this one, absolutely it's Purdue. But an upset, I think Baylor is that one.
Yeah, look, I think if this is the way it all shakes out, I think Marquette is probably the weakest two seed. And the reason being is, A, I wasn't a big believer in Marquette, you know, even before the Tyler Kolek injury. He obviously is dealing with that oblique injury, and we'll see how healthy he really is, you know, come NCAA tournament time. But I wasn't a believer in Marquette anyway, because Marquette has not done anything in 2024. I mean, yeah, they beat Illinois earlier in the year. You know, I mean, they put together a couple of nice wins in November, but I almost don't even count those, man. I mean, I know, I realize one team has to win in November, but teams change. Teams go through different iterations. And just because you beat a team in November certainly does not mean by any stretch of the imagination that you're going to beat them in March. And so I think when you consider, I mean, they've beaten up on basically the same five teams in the Big East: St. John's, Georgetown, you know, DePaul. Like, they were kind of going round robin with those type of teams there in February and March. And I'm just not really impressed. I'm not really impressed with you know, with what they've put on tape lately. So I think all of that sets up for a Purdue run, the Purdue run that everybody's kind of been waiting on. I think if you're Purdue, and yeah, I agree. I mean, Baylor is definitely going to be a tough out because they're playing good basketball and they have shooters, but I think Purdue looks at this region and they probably start salivating, RJ. I think they look out and they're like, this has to be our year.
Oh, if they're a two seed, is Marquette and not like Carolina, that's a huge win. That's a huge win, and I absolutely see them salivating if they have this. I mean, they've got okay. Look, maybe Texas could beat them in the second round. Maybe Auburn can get them at some point, but they're going to be heavily favored in every game. I don't see a game in this region that they play that they're not a 5.5 point favorite or more. And like, to me, if you're the one seed and you don't have a game in there that's going to be decided by, according to the odds makers, 4 or less, I'm elated by that. You should be absolutely be in the driver's seat to win that region if you're the one seed. And it looks like this bracket, the way that it breaks down, absolutely.
How can you focus, man? How do you focus when I'm like topsy turvy? Like, how do you focus when I'm like coming at you? I'm like playing 2-3 zone, man, on you, matchup zone. Oh,
man, you know this. Like, we gotta. We're just different. We're built different in this industry. Okay, we have a different constitution than everybody else. But we work different hours.
That's right.
Yeah, we have windows. Right. We have people looking at us all the time. We're just built different, man.
Yeah, man, I'm like Zach's got me doing like a upside down, turn around, right, whirling dervish. I like it. It's like this is the kind of stuff you have to be able to face in March, right?
Right.
Like, you're going to see different defenses. Like, I think, Zach, you should just put me upside down for a little bit of it. You know what I'm saying? Like, put me upside down for a little bit of the segment. Really throw RJ off. You know what I mean?
Ain't going to work, man. No, I'm not wearing pants right now. It's not going to work. All right, I'm just sitting here.
Okay, well,
it's like a tin cup, right? Turn your hat around, put the T in the other side. You know, look goofy. I look goofy. Nothing can throw me off. I look as goofy as I do. Nothing can throw me off.
All right, you mentioned Baylor, and as a three, it's probably a stretch to call them this, but who do you look out at this region and say, okay, they're a sleeper?
Michigan State. I mean, like, as a three, I don't really consider you a sleeper. I don't see Texas. I really can't see Texas beating Purdue. I mean, Michigan State, who knows, right? Like, they're one of those blue blood programs that if you wake up and they're in the Elite Eight, it's like, oh, wow, cool. Here we go again. Here they are. So, yeah, I could see them. I don't think they will, but I could see it happen.
Right. I hate that Michigan State team with the fire of seven hells. I think they're fortunate that they won today, because I would have been very interested had they lost to Minnesota in that first round of the Big Ten tournament, or the second round of the Big Ten tournament. I would have been very interested in what the committee would have done with them, because they would have been 18-14. They really only have that semi-home win against Baylor, and they beat Illinois. And that's really it. Outside of that, it is a mess for Michigan State, but they won, so they're definitely in. Zach asked, what would the line be? It's interesting. Wazoo and Michigan State, I think it would probably be a pick. That's my guess. I mean, that's what it feels like to me.
For a 7-10 to be a pick, I mean, it makes sense. I mean, we've seen that before. You know, we've seen pick that game before. I don't know. That's interesting.
Michigan State might be favored in that game. I mean, you know, I think that's a possibility.
And you know, I mean, it also, like, don't forget, they'd be in the Marquette pod, so it's probably going to be a relative home game for Michigan State.
Exactly. Yep. So I think that's definitely one to be considered. I think a sleeper, Drake is an 11, maybe? I mean, they do have Tucker DeVries, who's, you know, one of the better players in the Missouri Valley. I could see them beating Wisconsin, because I'm out on Wisconsin. I think Wisconsin's just kind of falling apart here. They beat up on Maryland. They beat up on Maryland, and that's great. But other than that, they've really just kind of fallen apart at the seams this year, and I'm not a big believer in what they're doing. So I think Drake could maybe surprise some people. Auburn hasn't been good enough away from home. Nebraska hasn't been good enough away from home. And I guess that kind of answers my own question. I would probably pick Drake over Wisconsin in that first round. Is there an upset you see on this board that you like?
It depends on where the game is, but I could see Vermont beating Auburn. I've just got shades of, you know, TJ Sorrentine over Syracuse. with Vermont. It's just creeping up in the back of my head. But yeah, I can see Vermont beating Auburn. I can see Auburn making a run too. I mean, Auburn's a good team. They've got a lot of talent.
Yeah.
You know, they do have a lot of talent on that team. And Bruce does get his guys up for big games. I mean, he will find a way to get his guys up. That being said, like, you know, San Diego State's got, I mean, they've got a lot of, you know, experience here from last season. I don't know that they're a threat. It's funny. I don't know they're a threat at all in this bracket.
What's the best possible matchup there? What's the best first round matchup on the board there?
Drake, Wisconsin, I think. I think Drake, Wisconsin is. I think that's a live. I think it's a live matchup. I think Drake's got a real chance to win that game. I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, they're not going to be favored, but I wouldn't be surprised if they came out as a favorite in that game. I'm not surprised at all. I think that's the best matchup.
Yeah. I think this region sucks. Actually, if this is an entire region, I think it's probably going to be the worst that we preview today. RJ, just in terms of like action, like, because that Texas Nebraska 8-9 matchup is disgusting. Neither one of those teams is serious. 5-12, South Florida's not even going to make the tournament unless they win the AAC. That matchup probably won't even exist. And then, you know, you're not getting anything to me relatively compelling until you get to, you know, maybe a Purdue and Baylor matchup. You know, for it all, for the chance to go to a Final Four. So, I'm not a big fan of this region in terms of matchups. I'm gonna be honest with you, RJ.
No, I you can't give that. That's a pretty easy bracket for a one seed. I mean, if you're the one seed in that thing, you're dancing in the street.
Well, that's what you're supposed to do, right? I mean, it's supposed to be easy for the one seed. I mean, that's why you get that's this incentive to be a one seed. It's supposed to look like this. You know?
It is. You're right. It's just they don't all. I mean, they always have that region of death, right? You always have the bracket of death.
It's
and
true.
This is not it.
It's true.
This is the bracket of boring. Bracket of boring, not the bracket of death.
Well, because, you know, one of these regions is going to have North Carolina and Duke in it, right? And neither one of those teams is a one seed. So, you know, whoever, it's probably whoever gets that last one, right? Whoever gets that last one is going to have to go through, you know, we'll get to that. But yeah, just as a, I would definitely have Purdue coming out of here. I would have Purdue, and I would feel pretty comfortable with that. I mean, I just don't really see where they – I mean, I guess, like, Auburn would be the first, you know, in the Sweet 16 would be the first team that might give them a little bit of trouble because Jedi Broome is a good player on the interior, and they have some guards that can kind of go at them athletically. So I might be interested in taking Auburn against the spread, you know, if you give me 6.5, 7.5, something like that. But – other than that, RJ, I just don't really see much resistance until they would potentially see Baylor. And then that would be interesting, too, because when you know, the Big Ten is not necessarily known for the athleticism, and that's what Auburn and Baylor would bring.
Right, and the Baylor zone could give problems with the height for Zach Edey. But don't forget with Auburn, I mean, like, you know, and even the Baylor game, that game's going to be in Detroit. That's a few hours from Purdue. It is not going to be a neutral site for either of those teams. That is going to be a largely Purdue crowd. So, I mean, there's going to be two regions that are very much a home field advantage, and that's going to be the UConn in the East and Purdue in the Midwest. You know, Houston, not so much. They don't have a huge fan base. And then the West is going to have somebody other than Arizona probably, but we'll see.
And Houston's probably going to be in Memphis. That's kind of the expectation.
They're
going to be in Memphis for the first round.
It'll be Dallas for the South region than Dallas, which, I mean, that's not really – there's not really a huge Houston contingent here.
Yeah, I don't – and I think even if you are a one seed, like, you're not going to travel very far for the first or second round anyway, right? Like, you're not expecting to lose in the first or second round. I wouldn't even consider – unless I just had the means and the time, I wouldn't even consider traveling until the second weekend. And so, you know, yeah, but it should be, it should be a pretty easy walk to the Elite Eight for Purdue in this region. All right, we got three more regions to preview here on the BetQLU mock tournament bracket show. We're going to get to the South. We're going to get to the East. And we're going to get to the – what's the other bracket? What's the third one? What's the third other region I'm leaving out? Northeast?
Midwest? What's the other bracket? No, Northeast. You're thinking women's, right? It's East, Midwest, South, and West.
East, yeah. East. Exactly. So we'll get to all those. I think we for the most part agree who the possibilities are of, you know, coming out of this region. Purdue, Baylor kind of feel like the two possibilities. So that kind of settles that one here in the Midwest portion of the BetQL mock tournament bracket show. All right, we'll come back. We'll get to the other regions, preview those. Maybe we'll talk a little coaching changes and more. He's RJ Choppy. I'm John Martin. You're watching BetQLU. We're on Odyssey Sports. We're on YouTube. We'll be back after this. Welcome back to BetQLU. This is the mock tournament bracket special. Hey, I got to tell you guys, tip off the madness with BetQL this Sunday. So as soon as the brackets are set, join Nick Costas, Ken Barkley on You Better You Bet Countdown to Tip-Off presented by BetMGM, 7 Eastern. Whether you're in a local office pool or you just love the thrill of the bet, this is going to be your pregame. Stream it anywhere you go with the Odyssey app or watch on twitch.tv/BetQL Sunday at 7 Eastern. Let's resume our NCAA mock tournament bracket here, RJ. We've already done Midwest. We're now going to head over to the East region where UConn is the 1 seed, Iowa State is the 2, Duke the 3 seed, Alabama as the 4. All right. So as you look out in this region, RJ, who jumps out?
UConn jumps out. It's like the first two regions. I don't want to say they're cakewalks, but UConn is like, I mean, look, they're the best team in the tournament, I think, in my opinion. If I were to pick any team to win it all, I'd pick UConn. Their road is, I mean, look, Alabama can shoot it at the gym, but they can't stop anybody. So unless UConn has an off night, and I mean an off night, and the team they're playing has a really, really on night, I don't know how they don't come out of this region. I mean, this is, just looking at it right now, I think this is UConn's easy. They're not going to play a game outside of Brooklyn or Boston. Those are home games. Those are home games for them. I don't think there's an easier road to the Final Four for a team than Brooklyn and Boston is for UConn.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with you. I mean, UConn's just killing everybody. They've been dominant this year. And it's hard at this point to really pick against them, regardless of who's in front of them. So it's chalky, but I mean, I told you this. We talked about it weeks and weeks and weeks ago. Just not stepping in front of the UConn train, man. I mean, until they're going to have to prove me wrong. They're just going to have to prove me wrong. I'm not trying to guess and when that day is going to be, because I have no idea. It may never come, RJ. So I do think, again, it's a spot where UConn should roll, though. This region, I would say, more challenging than the one we had Purdue in. And again, we're using bracket matrix here to go for consensus. Like, Iowa State is the 2. They're a team that we saw beat Houston, granted at home, but they did push Houston a little bit on the road as well in a spot that really should have been a squash spot. I mean, look what Houston did to Kansas in the second meeting. And it was not like that for Iowa State back at Houston. Right. I mean, it was a competitive game. And so I think Iowa State is a team that can push them. Obviously, Duke is, you know, a top 10 in basically every metric you want. Now, I think for UConn specifically,
they don't feel it.
I agree, and especially for UConn specifically, I mean, Klingon would just dominate Filipowski, it feels like to me. So, and Alabama, I think, is a fraud. I think Alabama is a complete fraud. Would not shock me if they lost in the first round, certainly the second. So I'm with you, though. We're in agreement. We're a little chalky here, RJ. RJ Chalky. You like that? You like that one?
I do.
RJ Chalky right there.
There we go. Yeah, I'll tell you, like, so I think with Duke, it's like, I mean, if not players, there's no doubt about that. But you mentioned Filipowski. I mean, which one's going to show up? I worry about him. I worry about him in a spot like this. He's a good player. He got kind of like, you know, beat up last year in their second round matchup. They got knocked out the second round. He got beat up by Tennessee. Now Tennessee had a bunch of 25-year-olds. But in this game against UConn, I mean, UConn's like, these are grown men that play for UConn. Like, I think they're going to really push him and make him just kind of wish he was anywhere else. These first two brackets, man, they're really setting up for the one seed. We're going to have murderers row in the next two.
Well, look, I said this on a couple shows, you know, or on this show a couple weeks ago, that it felt like just one of those years where it was going to be the one seeds. I just think this is a year where it's pretty shallow once you get past the four line. And there are certainly teams that even on the four line, I'm just like Alabama is a prime example. Like, Alabama can't win the championship. Alabama doesn't guard. They have no chance. They just rely on the three ball. They've overachieved relative to the talent that they actually have on their roster. But they have no chance to me as a four seed. Like, it's just a matter of when and not if with them. Do you see a sleeper in this region, RJ? Somebody that, you know, may make a, you know, may win a couple of games and could push UConn.
Oh, man. I really don't. I don't see anybody that could push them. I mean, outside of Iowa State, I really don't see a team that really gets the fits.
Yeah. You know what would be fun is Samford, Buckyball. And they score a lot of points. They score a lot of points. I mean, Clemson, I think, is just – they don't really have the guard play. Northwestern's banged up. No, I mean, I like Northwestern. I love Boo Booey, but they are already really thin, and they're hurt. Oklahoma is like, why are they in the tournament? Duke, we already talked about, and they're not a sleeper. Duke's never a sleeper.
No.
Dayton's not whatever. Seton Hall, like, again, you know, it's just kind of all feels the same. You know, it just all kind of feels the same in terms of teams, you know, that are probably just a couple of levels below. And either it's that or they, you know, like, I would love to pick Northwestern. If Northwestern was, like, relatively healthy, I would say that's a prime, you know, because, you know, they've beaten, you know, they've pushed teams in the Big Ten. So that would be a, you know, they've beaten Purdue, but they're not healthy. Yeah. So I can't pick them. So there's no sleeper in this damn region. All right, let's move on, Zach. Let's go to another region. We both like UConn in this one. Doesn't matter who it's over. It's just going to be really tough. This is the South bracket, where Houston is the one seed. North Carolina is the two. Creighton is the three. And Kentucky is the four. Now we're cooking, RJ. As we know, in the South, it just means more. And it's this region that absolutely feels the spiciest. Obviously, to my eye, looking at it off the rip, there's like three or four teams I could see coming out of this region. What about you?
Oh, I've already pinpointed mine, but yeah, I can see Houston coming out. I can see Carolina coming out. I don't know that I can see Creighton coming out of it. I know that Creighton's a good team, but they're obviously a much, much better team at home. I'll tell you, Kentucky's playing good, man.
Yeah,
think Kentucky's one of the. I think if you were to just get rid of the entire season and only start with, like, I don't know, March 1st, Kentucky would be the overall one seed in the tournament. Like, they just would. They're playing so well. I think Kentucky is. If I was a one seed, I do not want them in my bracket at all. Not a chance.
I agree with that. I think a team like, you know, Houston in the regular season and even in the conference tournament, right? They're like a Chinese bullet train, and then they get to the tournament. And they kind of turn into a Ford Ranger. Like, they might get you to your destination. Yeah, I'll give you a new one.
All
right. They might get you to your destination, but they also might need some repairs after a long weekend.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? That's Houston in the tournament. In the regular season, though, it's the bullet train. But we talked about their style being so demanding that they're susceptible. Like, I could even see Florida. Florida could beat them, you know? It could happen. I'll go with Creighton in this region.
Ooh.
I'll mix it up a little bit. Okay. Just because I think they've really found something late in the season here with Ashworth coming on. And obviously Kalkbrenner is just a, you know, two ends mismatch. Shireman can shoot the ball like crazy. So I'll say Creighton as a three seed. What about in terms of a sleeper here?
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
A sleeper. Let me go with, I mean, I can't call Kentucky a sleeper at four.
Right. People are very much woke on the Wildcats.
Yeah, they are definitely woke. Let's go BYU, man. Let's go BYU.
Okay.
I don't think they have the chance to win the division, to win the bracket, but I could absolutely see them getting to a point where they're in the Elite Eight. I could see them knocking off Houston. Maybe Florida knocks off Houston, and then BYU takes care of them. But I can see BYU as a little sleeper there. TCU is an older team. I don't know that they're going to do it though. I don't think they get out of their first round matchup with Gonzaga. So I'll take BYU.
Yeah, I think that's a good call out. I'll go Florida. I'll say Florida because they have guards. They have guard play. They've beaten Kentucky at Rupp. So I would say absolutely, you know, Florida is a team that could do it. And I like it as an eight. I won't go totally chalk there. What's the most exciting matchup here? There's a lot to pick from. There's a lot to pick from. I think this is a really good first round. Who? What game's the best?
Let's go with if Virginia gets out of the first four, Texas Tech, Virginia.
Oh, God. What the hell about that matchup intrigues you? I mean, you want to see 60 points scored?
No. It's just Virginia could be they could just defensively bind you up, and I think it would take a lot for Texas Tech to win that game. I think they could be an upset right there, even though Virginia can't score, and they honestly should not let Virginia in the tournament. They don't score more than 40, but I think if they do get in, I don't know that any team wants to actually play that style of basketball.
No, I don't think anybody wants to play it. There's no doubt about that, including, like, the players that attend.
Right. Yeah.
Like, I wonder about Virginia moving forward. Like, I really don't think they should be in. I know they're going to get in if it's close because of their brand and their championship pedigree and all that. But I do kind of wonder just about where they fit in the new age, you know what I'm saying? Because it's like you don't go there to develop. You don't go there to develop for the NBA because that's not how NBA – teams play. You're not going to have fun because you're scoring in the 50s and 60s. Now, winning is fun, I guess, but like if it was me, I'd be like, no, don't even call me. Don't even pick up the phone and call me if you're Virginia, Tony Bennett. It's not
awful.
I'm a volume shooter, and I don't play defense. I'd be perfect. I'd be like Reed Sheppard at Kentucky. I'd be perfect.
It's terrible. It really is. I don't know how they get anybody to go there. They won. You know, they got a championship. But honestly, I can't think of another team that won a title that just can't, with the same coach, that can't keep it together. Nobody goes there. Like, they don't get any surprise recruits because nobody wants to play that style of ball. I don't know why they haven't figured that out. Why haven't they figured that out?
It's like when Georgia Tech ran the running the triple option. You know what I'm saying? It's like, that's not where any talented athlete ever wants to. That's not the system they want to play in.
No, you're capped.
It may be successful. It may win, but you don't want to play there if you have a choice.
No, you're capped because you don't have the talent. You gotta get the talent. You gotta develop players if you want to win there. And that's the problem. It's too hard to develop players in this NIL transfer portal era. You can't develop guys.
Yeah, but I think this is definitely going to be the best region, no doubt about it. I think this is the one with the juiciest matchups with, like, even a team like James Madison. You know, they won a lot of games, and they beat Michigan State early in the year. So, you know, it would not shock me if, you know, they won a couple of games, or at least one. So, yeah, I think this is the one where when it's all said and done, you know, I would be looking probably the most for. And then we haven't even really talked about Carolina, right? I mean, Carolina there is the 2 seed. You know, they're playing their best basketball too.
Yeah, they are. Yeah. This is a good region. There's no doubt. Like, if I was Houston, I'm looking at the other two brackets we've already looked at. I'm like, dude, guys, why did you give me this insane region? And those two, you gave cakewalks to. That's what happened. But that's the reality of it. That's going to happen in every tournament. There's always going to be a region tougher than others.
No question. So anyway, that will do it for the South bracket in the South region here in our BetQLU mock bracket special. We've already gone through. Which ones have we hit? We've hit the East. We've hit the Midwest. We've hit the South. That leaves the West. West Coast, Best Coast. So we're going to get to that. Wrap this up here on the BetQLU mock bracket special. I'm John Martin. He's RJ Choppy. We're on Twitch. We're on YouTube. We're on Odyssey Sports on the Odyssey app. We'll be back after this. Welcome back to BetQLU here on the BetQL Network. I'm John Martin. He's RJ Choppy. And for our final region of the BetQL mock tournament bracket, we go to the West. That's right. California love. Where we got a 1 seed. Again, these are all bracket matrix. These are all consensus bracket according to bracket matrix. But Tennessee is your 1 seed in the West. Arizona, the 2. Kansas, the 3. Illinois, the 4. Look at you. Tennessee finds a way to get the 1 seed.
Oh, first time in school history. It feels good. It feels good to be on that 1 line. And then, just like in typical Tennessee fashion, you look at the rest of the region, and it's like, we just can't have nice things, okay? Can't have nice things. Look at the second round matchup, John Martin. Florida freaking Atlantic, the team that beat us last year
in the playoff. Rematch.
Oh, I've got a video I'm still waiting to post, a drunk video of me reacting to that game, all right? I'll text it to y'all.
Dude, we got to get it. We got to see it, man. Oh, I can only imagine. Y'all.
It was amazing. I never put my fiance, girlfriend, my fiance like, now.
Who is this? The Owls? What conference they play in? Oh, I can only imagine.
No, I didn't even get mad. I was just more like just hammered, right? But I got my fiance would not let me post it. She goes, no, you can't do it. You can't post that. You can't let anybody see like that. I'm like, it's probably wise. But guess what? I'm gonna post that video before the tournament starts this year, as a remembrance of where we've come from. But you got Florida Atlantic. That's a tough 9 method. If you're the 1 seed, you don't want to see them. South Carolina. South Carolina's a good team. Illinois? Kansas? I mean, if they're healthy, but not the way they looked this week against Cincinnati when they were, half strength. And then the tough part would be Arizona. You know, Zona's gonna be a home team, and this is the 2 seed in LA. That if you're the 1 seed out west and you're not Arizona, and Arizona gets stuck out there, that's tough for you.
No question about that. There is no doubt about that. All right, let's talk about this region. How well does it set up for the Vols? This is a tough one. I mean, because obviously Tennessee is the last four, and so this is going to be the toughest one. Now, Kansas is not, you know, we'll see on the injury status of Kevin McCullough and Hunter Dickinson. I do think they will come back in time for this, but they're clearly, you know, falling off a cliff here. How preferable a road is this for your Volunteers as the one seed? And do you like them in the region if this is what it looks like?
Oh, this is tough, man. They already lost to Kansas this year. They played Illinois this year. They played them at home and they beat them. They've split with South Carolina. That's just tough. Like, St. Mary's is a good team for the 7th seed. They went undefeated in conference. That's a tough region. That's probably about as tough as the last one was. They're the best team in it. I got no problem saying that. They're the best team in the region. But are they going to win it? I mean, Tennessee will either play in Charlotte or Memphis in the first round. You know, whichever one they decide to put him in, Charlotte or Memphis.
Right.
So they should have a good home court advantage either way.
Yeah.
They'll have no home court.
I would almost guarantee they'll be in Charlotte. I mean, Charlotte's closer than Memphis, right? I mean,
Memphis is 400 miles away. I have no idea. I don't know. I don't remember. I don't remember.
Charlotte's closer. I mean, I might be wrong, but
you're probably right. And I don't know what the fan base in Memphis is for Tennessee anyway.
Yeah, that's only 230 miles away. So they would definitely go to Charlotte first. Yeah, exactly.
I think there's a lot of teams. I could see 5 or 6 teams making the Final Four to this. I really could.
I agree. Really, I think it's a lot like the South. Yeah. I mean, to be honest, FAU, you know, FAU did it a year ago. They could do it again. I think, you know, the two teams, I mean, there's multiple teams. I think Arizona's they've taken more dumb losses than any good team in the country this year has Arizona. But when they're locked in and playing their best basketball, man, they're up there certainly as one of the best in the country. They're erratic because they're led by Caleb Love. But, man, when he is in his bag, they could beat anybody. I truly believe that. So that's a good one. Who do you like as a sleeper? Who's the sleeper in this region to you?
Do we consider FAU a sleeper?
Yeah, I think, absolutely.
I mean, I think FAU can be a sleeper. I think Mississippi State's not a bad one. It depends on how they do. I'll tell you this, though. Give me Grand Canyon as the sleeper. I will take Grand Canyon.
Okay, yeah, you've seen them. You've seen them up close and personal.
I have. Grant Foster is a really good player. He's an NBA. Yep. He's an NBA level player. There's not going to be many games where he's not the best player on the floor. And if they get contributions from some of their other guys, I could see them doing it. I mean, I really could see them making a run to the Sweet 16 or the Elite Eight. I don't think they're not going to win the region, but I think Grand Canyon is one of those teams.
Yeah, I think. You have Florida. I mean, Boise State, you know, again, the Mountain West teams are kind of hard to trust because they mostly do it at home. But they are old, and they've been here before. So I think either of those teams could be the sleeper. St. Mary's as the 7. They play such an ugly style. But, you know, you got to be willing to get down in the mud with them. And if you're not, then you're definitely going to be in trouble. So I think there's multiple teams in this one. I mean, honestly, Illinois is the 4 seed, could absolutely come out of this region. I mean, didn't Tennessee and Illinois play this year?
Yeah, Tennessee won. I think it was like a 10-point game. But
it was 86-79, but it was in Knoxville, right? I mean, it was, you know, it was there. So that's certainly nothing to be ashamed of. And on a neutral site, you could certainly see that game being, you know, a little bit different. So, yeah, I think I would say the 1, the 2, and the 4 in this region are completely legitimate. Kansas is out of gas. They just are. And I know that Hunter Dickinson and Kevin McCullough are going to play, but they're not healthy. And this team is too thin. Like, they got Nick Timberlake out of the portal, a guy that averaged 19 a game last year, expecting him to come in and do that And he's just been the opposite. He's been terrible. He's just been bad in every sense of the word. Can't score. So I would not, if I was placing a future in this region, it might be like a long shot, like a FAU, like in Illinois, because I think there's a chance. Like, these teams are not separated by that much. And so I think that's definitely the way I would look to do it. What's the best matchup that you can see on the board right now?
I think right now, St. Mary's, Mississippi State. I think Florida Atlantic, if they shoot the ball well, they're gonna run Boise away. But St. Mary's, Mississippi State, I think it could be a physical game. I think Mississippi State's got some size that could really compete with St. Mary's. That's a really good one. And I'll tell you this, if I'm the two seed, I do not want to see those teams. I don't want to see those teams in the second round. That's a tough matchup. That, to me, right now, is the best matchup. I could see Oakland knocking off Kansas. I could see that the way Kansas is playing. I mean, Kansas did not look very good against Cincinnati in the Big 12 tournament. I could see Oakland knocking them off.
I couldn't agree more. Yeah. I'll go Boise FAU. I think that's going to be a good one. Nobody will care about it nationally because it's two complete non-brands. But I think those teams are pretty evenly matched. They're both experienced. They both have lots of seniors. They're well-coached. They come from non-power leagues. Zach tells us that Boise has never won a tournament game in program history. I mean, FAU didn't either until last year. It ain't like you're going up against, you know, some blue blood pedigree with FAU. So I think that's the one I'd be locked into. I'm weird like that. I mean, because it's the first round, though. It's not like you're going to have, like, the one seed's not playing anybody worth a damn. So, you know, you have to pick a matchup like this to get any kind of, you know, expect any kind of close game, right?
Right. No, yeah, I mean, the one seed typically is gonna blow their team out. It'll be a 16-point favorite, an 18-point favorite, a 20-point favorite. But yeah, you're looking at the second, the 8-9 game. That's the best game in that little pod that you're gonna find, and that should generally be that should be the most competitive game of the weekend, or of the first day, is the 8-9.
Yeah. Yes. All right. So we've gone through every region here. I think the big takeaway is that Purdue has the easiest road. Even though they may not be the number one overall seed, they have the easiest road according to bracket matrix. If you switched a couple around, if you switch Houston and Purdue, you know, it could look a little different. You know, we'll see what happens. But I think the big takeaway for me is that a year after being upset in the first round by Fairleigh Dickinson, if things break the way that bracket matrix expects them to break for Purdue, they could be in great position to pull a Virginia, which is lose in the first round to a 16, come back the next year, bring mostly everybody back, and cut down the nets in what would be Glendale. So fun exercise, RJ. The good news is we're going to have a real one next time we're on. Yeah. We're going to have a real one. We're going to have real tournament games, and we won't have to predict the matchups, and we'll know. Conference champions will have all been crowned. We'll have exactly the seating here. I'm looking forward to seeing who's in Memphis here. Obviously I know Houston really well, and I'm expecting Houston to be in Memphis, but, you know, what else are we going to see? Some intriguing 8-9 games here for sure. So good work by our man Zach Kroll for putting that together. That was fantastic work by him, and it was a good time definitely going through those. Yeah, round of applause. Round of applause for our man Zach. Hey, it's been a fun college basketball season. We're not quite done yet, but we appreciate you guys hanging with us throughout the college basketball season. It's been a blast talking about the regular season here every single week, and we're about to have, you know, a full picture, and we're going to go all into this thing here in March, and it's going to be a blast. That's going to do it for us on this week's edition of BetQLU, the last week before the NCAA tournament begins, so I appreciate you guys hanging out with us. Find us on the Odyssey app, find us on Twitch, find us on YouTube, wherever you get your podcasts. It's going to do it for us. Have a great week. For RJ Choppy, I'm John Martin. Thanks for hanging.